أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولأبويه لكل واحد منهما السدس مما ترك إن كان له ولد فإن لم يكن له ولد وورثه أبواه فلأمه الثلث فإن كان له إخوة فلأمه السدس من بعد وصية يوصي بها أو دين آباؤكم وأبناؤكم لا تدرون أيهم أقرب لكم نفعا فريضة من الله إن الله كان عليما حكيما صدق الله العظيم. This is a continuation of verse number 11 of Surah An-Nisa. In the first part of the verse we discussed the shares of the children, sons and daughters, one daughter, two or more daughters. Here in these verses, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala now speak about the shares of the parents. Many of us are not aware that when a person is deceased, no matter what his situation is, married, unmarried, children, no children, parents would inherit. Mother would inherit, father would inherit. With regards to that, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has divided the situation into three different situations. One is the deceased left a child or left children. He was survived by either one child or many children, immaterial. In that instance, both the parents, father and mother, will both receive 1/6 of the estate. The second situation is that the deceased was not survived by any children nor any siblings. No sons, no daughters, no offspring, no brothers, no sisters, mother and father. Then in that instance, the mother will receive 1/3 of the estate and then the father will receive the balance, that is the 2/3. If the deceased had left a wife, for example, then the wife will get her share. After her share is taken out, then the mother will receive 1/3 of the balance, and then the father will receive the balance of whatever is left thereafter. So that is the second scenario. The third scenario will be that the deceased was survived by no children, didn't have any offspring. However, two or more siblings were there. Then in that case, the mother will get 1/6. The siblings will not inherit, but however, because they are brothers and sisters of the estate, the mother will get 1/6 and the father will get the balance after the other heirs, like for example, the spouse share is taken and then the father will get the balance. So these are three different scenarios with regards to parents. For us, imperative, important for us to know that our parents will become inheritors in our estate. So this is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala describing this. We'll just do the translation. The explanation is done. Allah Ta'ala says, وَلِي أَبَوَيْهِ And for the parents, لِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَ السُّدُسُ مِمَّا تَرَكَ إِنْ كَانَ لَهُ وَلَدْ Each one of them will receive 1/6 from that which the deceased had left, if the deceased had a child or children. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ وَلَدٌ If the deceased did not have any children, وَوَرِثَهُ أَبَوَاهُ Then his parents will inherit فَلِأُمِّهِ الثُّلُثُ Then the mother will get 1/3, the father gets the balance. فَإِنْ كَانَ لَهُ إِخْوَةٌ If the deceased had left two or more siblings, فَلِأُمِّهِ السُّدُسُ Then the mother will get 1/6, father gets the balance. Thereafter, after describing all these various shares of the offspring of the children and then the parents, Allah Ta'ala says, مِن بَعْدِ وَصِيَّةٍ يُوصِي بِهَا أُدَيْنِ This will be after the wasiyat, the bequest which the deceased had bequeathed, or after the dain, that is, the debt has been paid. Now we discussed yesterday in a very introduction that when somebody is deceased, somebody left this world, first we will take out the kafan dafan expenses, that is the shroud and then the burial expenses without any extravagance whatsoever, no granite, no nothing that is put on the qabr that can be taken out, is not permissible, and it cannot be taken out from the estate. We cannot feed others from the estate and all of that. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would first pay off the debt, and then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would see to the wasiyyah, to the bequest. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala who used to say that you read this ayat, مِن بَعْدِ وَصِيَّتِي يُوصِي بِهَا أُدَيْنِ. Allah ta'ala first mentions the bequest, and then Allah ta'ala mentions the deen. However, in application, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would first pay out the debt, and then the balance after that one third will be seen to insofar as the bequest of the deceased is concerned. Allama Alusi rahmatullah alayhi and other commentators have explained that that is the procedure, the debt is first and then thereafter the bequest. But the question is, why did Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, these three times this ayat, this part of the verse will recur, and on all three occasions Allah ta'ala mentions wasiyat first and then deen, is because when a debt is owed, people will know about it, and then of course the creditor will also make his demands. But when there is a wasiyat, there is a bequest, then probably the person or the institution may not know about the bequest, and because there is nothing in lieu of it, there will be some kind of sluggishness, laxity with regards to paying off that wasiyat. There may be delays, maybe it is not paid, and hence, as a matter of emphasis, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala speaks about this wasiyat. Now from our perspective, what is a wasiyat, what is a bequest, what are the rules regarding all of it? Number one is, a wasiyat can be made to the total of one third of the estate after funeral expenses and debts are paid off. More than one third will not be executed by the executors of the estate. It will be to the maximum of one third after we have paid off the debt and after we have paid off the funeral expenses, etc. Yes, if all the inheritors are all sane, mature, and all of them consent, then those will be different issues. We're speaking about the norm. Second aspect is, the wasiyat could be made to any individual. However, that individual cannot be an automatic inheritor. A father cannot make a bequest of a sum of money to a particular son or any other inheritor, because that person is inheriting. Our Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said on Hajjatul Wada, "Inna Allah a'ata kulladhi haqqin haqqa." Allah Ta'ala had given every person his rightful due. "Fala wasiyata lil waratha." There is no wasiyat, there is no bequest for a person who will become an automatic inheritor. So number one, we can give it out to any individual. The wasiyat can also be made for some institution, masjid, madrasa, any other charitable institution. Or number three, the wasiyat with regards to personal obligations. Personal obligations would be that through our lives we had not performed our salat. Now this is a very imperative aspect. Non-performance of salat would make compulsory upon us to perform each and every one of those namazes, each and every one of those salat. The five first salat and the sixth will be the witr wajib. If we did not do that or we are in the process, what needs to be done is we assess the situation, write down the number of miss salat, and as we are making the qada, we update our records. And we make wasiyat that at the time of our departure from this world, when we have left this world, then from the one third of our estate, this personal obligation would be paid off. For each salat, to simplify it, will be the equivalence of one sadaqatul fitr. If the sadaqatul fitr, what we call the fitra, is 20, 25, 30 rands, then for each namaz, 20, 25 or 30 rands will have to be paid, and that will include the witr salat. When we multiply it over 365 times 6 or the number of years, this goes into exuberant amounts of money. So hence, the first obligation is that we make the qada, we make an intention to make it, we begin to record it, we begin to update our records, and we make wasiyat for those mussalat. One very important aspect will also be, besides unpaid zakat, undone qurbani, etc., is hajj. When hajj has become fard on a person, and the person has not performed the hajj for whatever reason, whatever the reasons may be, that is apart from the discussion, then the person should make wasiyat, that from 1/3 of my estate, my hajj badal must be made. If that is not done, then obviously there is no obligation on either the executor, there is no obligation on the children or any third party to perform that hajj. By doing this, then there becomes an obligation that from 1/3 that hajj will be performed, and of course that is in actual fact the original hajj badal. Some ulama have stated, if the inheritors do it on their own accord, from their own wealth, there is a question whether it is hajj badal on behalf of the farz hajj of the deceased or not. Those questions are very difficult insofar as whether it is the fard obligation that has been fulfilled or whether it is a nafal. Ulama have their opinions with regards to that. So that will be wasiyat with regards to our personal effect, and we should take note and we should try and abide by all of this. Thereafter, the deen. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala speaks about the obligation of debt. It is most important that those who have debt should write it down, be very clear in their records, so that at the time when they have left this world, that is paid out automatically from the estate. And of course, if anyone is owing us, we should also write it down. If it is paid, it is known. If it is paid, make a note of it. And in this way, we can clarify many issues that remain unclarified after we leave this world. So that is briefly with regards to wasiyah and deen. Thereafter, Allah Ta'ala says, Aba'ukum wa abana'ukum. Your parents, your offspring, your children, لا تدرون أيهم أقرب لكم نفعا. You do not know which of them is closest to benefit. In this world, whilst we are living, it may seem to be different, but when we leave this world, we don't know who is going to benefit us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in actual fact not based it on benefit that we see, but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has based it on the relationship, whether it is parents, whether it is children in this case, and then of course spouses and others that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala speaks about in the next verse. Fariḍatan min Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Fariḍatan min Allah. The shares have been apportioned by Allah ta'ala. It is a compulsion, it is fixed by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We cannot alter it, we cannot change it, we cannot remove anyone insofar as the fixed inheritors are concerned, that Allah Ta'ala has given them the share. That is all apportioned by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. It is now done by Allah and we cannot change all of that. Inna Allah kana aliman hakima. Certainly Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is alim. Allah Ta'ala is all-knowing and Allah Ta'ala is most wise. In Allah's knowledge and Allah's wisdom, this is what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has apportioned. And in many ways, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has created ease for us, that we will continue with our will insofar as the Islamic law of succession or inheritance is concerned. And then no one can say anything with regards to it, that we had detested someone, we left someone out, because this has been apportioned by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdihi, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.